Front and center this morning, let's talk about how our legacy retailers are finally catching up to digital transformation. You've probably seen some of this in your own life this morning and in your interactions with some of these retailers. Let's bring in Anne-Marie Alcantara, tech reporter for Adweek this morning. Anne-Marie, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning. It's good to be on.
Good to have you here this morning because we're all interested, I think, in this topic. And some of us may have actually already experienced a little bit of this. But what are the legacy retailers that we'll be focusing our conversation on today? And talk to us a little bit about what they're doing to catch up to digital.
Yeah, so definitely one of them is Gap. And a few weeks ago, they made a few headlines. They separated from Old Navy, which was a very big move that rocked the industry. But I think it was a sign of them realizing they need to really focus on other Gap Inc. brands. And so they decided to take Old Navy away from that because it's doing so well. And even though they're closing a few stores, they're opening a few new ones and being really strategic about it. They're opening it in places that, you know, they've really looked at it, are what consumers are actually going, and are, you know, places that will hopefully do better than some of the stores they're closing currently.
Right. And moving into the digital space of this is, I know some of us at Christmas time probably saw this where we picked out what we wanted online and maybe went to a store to get it. Also, some of these stores have more of an online presence. Is that the digital that they're catching up to?
Yes. Actually, the first action you described is a big one that a lot of retailers are testing out. It's called Buy Online, Pick Up in Store, known as BOPUS. And that's definitely one thing they're trying to do to, you know, appease people who maybe they don't want everything shipped to their house. They want to pick it up on their way home from work. And that's just definitely one thing that they're doing to keep up with the digital lifestyle of consumers.
What are the stakes here, Anne-Marie, if they don't do some of this? We've already seen a couple of retailers go by the wayside, Sears, JCPenney having trouble as well. What are the stakes here?
I mean, I think the stakes are exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing more stores closing down. We're seeing companies restructure their entire business, people laying off, like whether it's, you know, in-store employees or, you know, across the executive line. It's just not good, right? It just means more layoffs, more store closings, and definitely less options for consumers as well, that they only now can order online and have to get everything shipped and pay for that shipping, and it's just more costly to the consumer.
Everybody, I guess, they're looking over their shoulder at Amazon and some of the other big ones. Amazon probably the big one. Can they ever compete on that level? Are they ever going to get close to it?
It's hard to say. They just shut down a few weeks ago as well, all of their retail shops except for some strategic ones like Amazon Go. But I think they're also struggling to understand how retail works and if they can actually overtake, you know, companies like Macy's, companies like JCPenney. And I think it just remains to be seen. It's hard to know what the consumer wants from Amazon other than free two-day shipping through Amazon Prime.
Some of the executives who are working on this, how have they come to this process? Are they just seeing the landscape, or are they having active discussions with consumers?
I think it's a mix of both. I think some of them have kind of really woken up and realized, you know, they can't just keep pretending everything's fine and that they can do whatever they're doing. They need to, like, actually enact change, or they're going to go by, you know, fears and everything else that's going on. But I think a lot of them are also listening to consumers in the sense that they are investing in direct-to-consumer brands that really target, you know, millennials and Gen Z and, like, have different branding. It's not, you know, your mom's brand. It's like a millennials brand, and it's fun, and they're really trying a lot of new different things.
Give us an example of something that you like that you've seen out there that seems to be working.
So I think definitely what Gap a few weeks ago came out and how they broke up with Old Navy, and the CEO is very honest, or actually the CEO and president was very honest about why he was doing that. And I think he was very also open about that Gap hasn't been doing well, and they're trying to do more, and they're trying to figure it out. Nordstrom is another big retailer that's testing out a whole series of different concepts, whether it's like opening up Nordstrom local stores that own, like, have no inventory, and you can, like, get your nails done, and all this other variety of activities. But I think they're doing something really, really well there, and they're trying to figure out what consumers actually want out of retail, and especially out of like a retailer that's really well known.
And Anne-Marie, I'm struck because in the story, there's part of the details are how these different retailers are structuring their internal teams, how things are changing inside of these businesses. Talk to us a little bit about how that's happening behind the scenes that we consumers don't see.
Yeah, so some of them are starting to combine teams that maybe, you know, maybe there's one team that's focused solely on the digital customer, and there's another team that's focused on the in-store customer, and brands are finally combining those teams and removing the silos between them, because at the end of the day, it's one customer, you know. If you're someone who looks online for something, you're probably also going to look at it in-store if you still like to go to the store, and so that's one way. They're also looking at different advertising channels and once again, removing the barriers and thinking about them as just one customer that you can advertise through Google, Facebook, and Instagram, and it's still the same person, so you still need the same kind of messaging to target that person correctly.
Yeah, and also catching on, too, to this influencer idea where people who have these wonderful followings, these massive followings on Instagram, for example, that's an advertising channel that I don't think some of these legacy retailers ever thought they might be in or even imagined they might be in.
Absolutely, and some of them, I think, took too long to realize the actual power that these influencers have. I mean, Kylie Jenner is a classic example of just how easily she built her following and then launched a whole makeup brand around it, and it's done so well. And I think they're trying to figure out how to use the right influencers and the ones that will actually resonate with customers and will have a community where people actually will talk about their product and try it on and figure out just what's the right fit for them.
I think it's interesting that on this day that Apple is announcing it's getting into the credit card business and having that sort of loyalty program on their technical app, on their tech side. This is how retailers used to get loyalty from customers. They used to have these credit card programs. I think that's kind of an interesting thing that we're seeing the big tech companies go back to that.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of like, you know, history just repeats itself, right? But I think Apple definitely has a much different loyalty, and they have a whole different ballgame that they're playing at, whereas retailers are still experimenting with loyalty programs and different ways of, you know, expressing that loyalty to their customers, whether it's, you know, maybe you get a special sale or you get limited edition items or you get more coupons, that sort of thing, or it's easier to collect points. So it's interesting to have seen them, like, move away from, you got to get a credit card, too. Okay, not everyone wants to actually get a credit card with us.
Yeah. So I'm interested, after, you know, talking to all the folks that you did for your story, what are their feelings about? Are they optimistic that this is going to succeed in the long run? What are your conclusions from what they said on that as well?
I think they're optimistic for sure. I think they have to be, you know. You don't want all of retail to fail. You don't want these legacy retailers to go bye-bye. But I think they're worried. They're still worried. They're still concerned that some retailers are ignoring what's going on in front of them, or they're not adopting technologies as fast as they could be. And it's still concerning, and it's unclear like what's really going to shake out, especially as more stores continue to close.
Yeah, and I think you know, the consumer is going to end up being the final judge here. And what do you think their choice is going to be?
I think the consumer just wants convenience and something that's still reliably cheap, and I think that's what they're going to go for. And whoever gives them that, and also includes a little touch of personalization, that's going to be the gold mine.
Anne-Marie, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Again, we're going to link out to your story at adweek.com. Please come back and see us sometime.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me. Have a good morning.
You too. Anne-Marie Alcantara is a tech reporter at Adweek. Again, the title of her story, Three Ways Legacy Retailers Finally Catching Up to Digital Transformation. And you can read it at adweek.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us in our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Businesses, small businesses especially, use springtime as a time to look over their finances and plan for the coming year. Joining us this morning to talk a little bit about that, Tim Roach, who's the CEO of Lendr, L-E-N-D-R. Tim, good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be back.
Happy spring, too. I mean, let's begin our discussion there. What kinds of things with your business coincide with spring that you want people to know about?
31 degrees doesn't feel like spring, but I agree. I'm hoping spring is right around the corner. I hate to say it, but spring is around the corner, but that also means tax season is right around the corner, and also preparing for your for your business and actually planning for it. And one of the things we try to do with our clients is help them with the tax season, give them guidance as well as short-term financing that allows them to kind of get over that hurdle, as all of us have to write a check sometimes, or hopefully you get a refund, but not everybody does. So planning for that from a business standpoint is very important.
So that would include what, maybe having a loan to pay taxes to get over that hump?
Yeah, so it's a loan. We've even paid the IRS or the state taxes for a lot of our clients. With that, we'll do a 0% financing for the first 30 days, and they will have other inventories or other AR accounts receivable that are getting ready to be due to them over the next 30 or 45 days. So they need short-term financing. So we try to help in that 30, 60, 90 day when it comes to a tax, or we go out all the way out to 18 months. So you're really getting a benefit and kind of moving that payment that you have to make today down the road, and allowing your business to continue to grow is what we're trying to help our clients do.
Springtime is also a good time to not only spring clean, but to think about the investments you want to make. Maybe you need new warehouse equipment. Maybe there's something that you need in terms of office equipment. Those are things small businesses are thinking about.
Absolutely. You have to plan for Q3, Q4 of this year. You can't expect that you're going to be able to grow if you don't plan for it. So if it's from equipment, if it's hiring key personnel, if it's hiring temporary, if it's getting your word out, as we're on the radio right now, you have to budget, plan, and spend in order for those things to happen. So we help a lot of our clients with the growth or staying at par, if you will, but you have to spend dollars, and we're there to try to give them different financing options that allow them to do just that.
I know we've visited with you on a number of occasions, but if somebody's tuning in today for the first time and hearing about Lender for the first time, remind our listeners what it is that you do and what sets you apart from other companies.
Absolutely. Lender is a specialty finance company. We work with our clients from a working capital to a factoring product to we have a corporate debit and credit card. And what we're trying to do is creating basically financing options that actually work for that client. Meaning, if your cash flow is, if you're a seasonal business, landscaping is getting ready to take off in the Midwest. It's different than the West Coast. So we work with a lot of landscaping companies that they're booming right now, and they need financing options. So we know their cash flow is strong over the next 4 or 5 months, and then it's going to slow down in the winter. So we adjust their loans, their advances, their factoring, their credit card product, all around what actually works for them. And we also look past just a FICO score. We actually look at what the business owner has done over that life cycle. If they're a startup or they've been around for 20 years, we're not only just looking at a FICO score. We're actually looking at what the entire business owner has done is more important to us, what their real story is.
Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty comprehensive look, too. But the wonderful thing about Lender, I think, is the fact that you can turn this around pretty quickly. Talk to us a little bit about that.
We can. Our goal is if you can supply us with everything we need today, we can fund you today. It typically is 24 to 48 hours, but we funded several people. Actually, last week was a great push for us, all same day, which we love because you're supplying all the information that we need. We vet it. We go through the process extremely fast. We're not compromising any of our risk, but we're looking at that business owner, and we're able to fund that person usually 24 to 48 hours, but I love when we do it in the same day.
Is it artificial intelligence that's helping you do that a little bit?
Yes, machine learning, AI. We have algorithms that help us look at the entire file, and then we always have kind of a personal touch. I call it 90-10. 90% is machine learning, AI, algorithms, and the last 10% is actually one of our underwriters or salesperson that reaches out and speaks with the business owner.
Your company also can jump in when a company, a small business, comes across a rough patch. Not just a rough patch, but maybe there's something bad that's happened Talk to us about the different scenarios when things are not necessarily all rosy for a company.
Yeah, I don't think anybody likes to hear bad credit, or I like to say less than desirable, if you will. But we've all had a bump in the road, and we can go back to 08, 09, 10 during the housing wonderful crisis that we got ourselves into, and that affected a lot of people's credit. And so once again, we look at something more than just a credit score. We look at actually what the business is doing, the cash flow, what's the owner done over the last 10 years. And once again, we do startups as well, so that doesn't scare us, but we're looking past just a FICO score, as I myself had a ding on my credit from a Sprint phone bill that I didn't realize I didn't pay. So it's really important for us to look at the entire story of the business owner, not just a FICO score. And that's what we've been able to do over the last 8 years.
For those folks who may be in a situation where their credit is not the best, can lender help strengthen the credit and work with companies to make it better?
Great point. Yes, making your payments on time is so important. Every single month, set up reminders for yourself. Automatic bill pay is always a great thing to do. Even if it's the minimum payment, you have to be able to do that. Not opening multiple, I opened up 5 or 6 multiple credit cards all at once to get $1,000 in each card. That doesn't benefit you. So understanding what you can do to actually improve your credit, paying down your debt, not transferring it, don't open and close multiple accounts, and check for errors. Every quarter, you can pull your credit. It's for free, and it doesn't actually, every time you pull your credit or have somebody looking at it, it dings your credit. It lowers your score. So if you're applying for multiple loans or multiple credit cards, it actually lowers your credit score. But if you do it internally with Experian or TransUnion, something like that, and do it quarterly, you could check where your credit is. And if there is an error, you write them, let them know, and get that off your credit. And it helps tremendously.
What are the limits? How high can you go in terms of financing for a company?
We can go unsecured up to $500,000. Secured, we can go almost about $1.5 million now. So we've expanded. We're $10,000 to $500,000 on a typical business loan in advance, working capital, and on factoring, where someone has a payroll, they're doing $1 million a week in payroll, and we can basically advance 85% of that. So essentially on something like that would be $850,000 a week. And so that's on the factoring side, we can go much larger. But our day-to-day client is looking for $50,000 to $100,000 is kind of where our sweet spot is. But we can go up to $500,000 or more on the factoring side.
Right. And the reason I ask that question is I've been asking you a lot about small businesses. Is that generally who your clients are, is the small business guy?
Yes. Our client is somebody that has between 10 and 50 employees. I like to call them team members. And doing revenue between $100,000 and $3 million a year is our kind of perfect client that we basically day-to-day loan to.
As we sit here, there's been a lot of talk about whether or not the economy is getting ready to go south. Are you hearing that from any of the people that you're talking with in your business, any of the small business folks concerned about that?
You know what? It's so funny you say it. I've sat in on a couple calls. I've actually heard from American Express. I was talking with gentlemen over at William Blair. Jamie Dimon just said everybody right now who thought there was gloom coming is now saying the economy has kind of stabilized once again. It's looking really good. GDP was reduced from 2.3 to 2.1%, but the Fed basically is not having any rate hikes in 2019, and I believe only one in 2020, which I now they're saying that's not going to happen as well. So I think what's happening in the economy, and we're seeing it in our loans, is we've had 5 record months in a row. Businesses are doing well. We're seeing growth. We're not seeing very, very fast growth, but we're seeing very stable growth, which I like. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a great position for business owners to continue to expand. Or if you're a new business owner, a new entrepreneur, this is a great time to get into the marketplace and kind of follow your dream, if you will.
Part of the reason I asked you that question was I'm interested, while we're in these good times, is there something that companies should be doing to prepare themselves for that eventuality?
Yeah, you know what? The if you can pay down your debt, that's always the best thing you can do. If you can always, in search of cheaper money, debt from banks from mezzanine type of money. Obviously, friends and family is always the best money you can get. But I, you know, we are always in search, as we're a lender and we borrow from banks, is how do you get cost of funds, reducing that is so important, paying down your debt, and you know, your retained earnings or your cash, putting cash in the basically the war chest, if you will, when that time comes and they do start raising interest rates again and it starts to go up, you can start to prepare yourself for that.
What's the best way that people can get onto your site and make this application process, get it going?
Visit us at lender.online or call us at 312-796-7418.
Tim, always good to see you. Next time you're here, hopefully it'll be nice weather.
I hope so.
Real
warm.
Thanks
again. Bye.
Tim Roach is the CEO of Lender, L-E-N-D-R.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, futures are pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street this morning. Dow futures up nearly 0.5%, 125 points. S&P and NASDAQ futures up nearly 0.5% as well. Now the latest on agriculture and commodities. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. In livestock trade at the Mercantile Exchange yesterday, live cattle futures dropped sharply in reaction to the cattle on feed report on Friday that showed larger than expected supplies of cattle on feed in the United States. So at the end of the session yesterday, we saw the June live cattle contract down $2.27, the April feeder cattle contract down $2.27, and the lean hog contract for June ended the day unchanged, $95.55 a hundredweight. Turning to the grain market yesterday, we saw there that the wheat, corn, and soybean futures all traded higher. Wheat futures gaining, lifted by short covering and technical buying and concerns about production in the U.S. because of the weather that could delay planting in states like North Dakota, where they grow a lot of spring wheat. Corn prices also moved higher, showing gains into a fourth session. And at the end of the day yesterday, the July wheat contract up 3¾ cents, July corn up a penny a bushel, July soybeans up 2¾ cents a bushel. Well, South Dakota has added to the list of states that requires fake meat products to be correctly labeled. A product is misbranded if it intentionally labels products in a false, deceptive, or misleading manner that represents it as meat or a meat byproduct. Those were the words of the governor of South Dakota. That's your money market this morning. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple more stories before we leave you this morning. The White House and business groups stepping up efforts to win congressional approval for the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade accord. Prospects are uncertain given that Republicans are at odds with some aspects of the plan, and Democrats are in no hurry to secure any possible victory for the president. President Trump will meet with GOP lawmakers today to try to kick off the process for rounding up votes on Capitol Hill. McDonald's has announced plans to acquire a tech company, its largest deal in 20 years, as it continues to push its U.S. locations into the digital age. The fast food giant says it's agreed to buy Dynamic Yield, which specializes in personalization and decision logic technology. Dynamic Yield's technology will allow McDonald's digital drive-through menus to change based on different factors such as the weather and current restaurant traffic. McDonald's shares yesterday up nearly 0.5%, down nearly 0.5%, I should say, at $185.72 a share. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Tuesday, March 26th. Housing starts for February coming out today, and home building industry analysts expect a slight retreat. The experts forecasting an annual rate of 1.21 million housing starts last month, down from 1.23 million in January. The Case-Shiller Home Price Index for January set to be released today as well. Analysts predict a 0.3% increase, the same as December. The March Consumer Confidence Index is due out midday, and the smart money calling for a slight gain over February's reading. Also today, a report on the manufacturing index, the Richmond Fed Manufacturing Index, couple of Fed speakers out there as well that could move the markets. And on the earnings calendar today, earnings calendar, Carnival and McCormick will release earnings before the opening bell, KB Home and Shoe Carnival after the opening bell. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, March the 26th.